Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Growth Matters Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone. Here we are again, Fridays at 10 for our Growth Matters show. And today, I think you're really going to enjoy the topic and the conversation that we have today. Today, my guests in the studio are Kamal Grant, and for those of you here in Atlanta that are donut connoisseurs, you're going to know that name because he's the owner of Sublime Donuts, and so we're really excited for him to be here. And we also have Daryl Dollinger, who is one of the owners of Atlanta Franchise Group, and they focus on really helping businesses franchise their concepts, and he is a part of the success and the growth that is going on at Sublime. So welcome to both of you. Thanks for coming to the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm going to start with Kamal, and I was doing a little bit of research. I was thinking, who doesn't like donuts? What a great topic to be talking about on Friday. Mm-hmm. So I know a little bit about your story, but why don't you just kind of give us the thumbnail sketch of how you started Sublime and what you were trying to do?
All right. Well, I mean, I always wanted to be a baker ever since I was in high school, so that was really the path that I set on, and I really enjoyed and loved donuts. So after high school, you know, I went into the Navy, and I baked in the Navy. And then after the Navy, I went to the Culinary Institute of America so I could, you know, learn how to be a pastry chef, and I really wanted to be a great pastry chef. Then when I was in the Culinary Institute of America, I saw that I really liked the science behind it, so I went to the American Institute of Baking, and after, you know, to learn the science and technology of all, you know, the baking and how, you know, dough and everything's formulated. So after that, I fell into a job with Flowers Baking Company. You know, they're out of Thomasville, and I was working in the plant in Tucker, and I was a production supervisor. And it was great, but then I still had the yearning to create my own product. So that's when I, you know, saw the donut shop for lease. Someone had, you know, built out a donut shop, and they had it going for about 3 months, and it didn't quite work for them, so so I kind of just jumped in there and called him up, and, you know, he was really trying to get out because he couldn't find a baker, and he asked me if I baked, and I was like, yeah. So he was like, all right, like, here's the keys, and it was time to, you know, it was time to get work. It was time, you know, to cash in. So I kind of, you know, cashed out my 401k at the old job and put all my money into the donut shop and said, let's give it a shot. You know, we got nothing to lose. You know, I didn't have any kids, or, you know, and I was young enough and dumb enough to think I could make it work. So so I started the donut shop and was in there from, you know, 2 a.m. to, you know, 6 p.m. every day, making all the donuts, you know, going in there, making all the donuts, topping all the donuts, then putting the donuts on the shelf, then, you know, and opening up the donut store and selling the donuts, then running outside with the donut suit, waving at cars, coming back in when I see a car pull in and serving them donuts. So it was like that till about 6 months until we started getting a lot of more press and articles, and then people started to realize these are the world's greatest donuts, and then and all of a sudden we've just been rocking and rolling ever since.
Wow, that's such a great story. You know, there's something I've read that some people feel that entrepreneurs are born and with that innate capability, and some can be taught. So how did you know you were ready?
I mean, it was really just about, I mean, I just wanted to do my own thing. You know, you definitely hear that a lot about entrepreneurs, and a lot of people come into the shop now that, you know, I've got a little recognition, and they're like, I want to be an entrepreneur. And it's really about wanting to do something on your own. That's what I like to tell, you know, the young people or older people that come into the shop and they want to open their own business because they think they should run their own business. It's like, you shouldn't really try to start a business just to start a business. You should try to start, you know, do something you love to do. And then that, if that makes money, then you can do that for a living. And then if you're doing something you love to do all the time and you're doing it at a high level, people will eventually find you and people will like your product and then people will keep coming. So that's kind of what happened with the donut shop, and that's what I tell people. You know, it's I'm really less of an entrepreneur, and I just like to make donuts. And I figured no one was going to, you know, Dunkin' Donuts didn't call me up to work in the research development lab, so I said, let me make my own donuts and see if people like it. So
that's great. So, Daryl, as I said at the top of the show, your Atlanta franchise group really work with business owners to help them think about how to franchise their concept. So before you tell us a little bit about sort of that process, because I think that would be very interested for our listeners, you know, what interested you about Sublime and made it so that, yeah, this would be a good group to work with?
Well, just like Kamal said, when you know he was in the donut shop working, you know, same thing with me. I'm always looking for people like him and companies like him that have passion. That's basically what it comes down to. They know what they're doing, they're profitable, and they have passion. And when we had our first conversation, I remember just approaching him. He was sitting outside on his iPad and working, doing something, hanging out at the donut shop. And we just struck up a conversation and, you know, told him a little bit about what I could do and what I've done and my experience. And he said, okay, let's keep talking. And we did. And one thing led to another, and we both realized that it would be a mutually beneficial relationship to, you know, grow, help him grow our business, because we were just kind of getting started out about a year ago, helping some other franchise clients. And he wanted to grow, he wanted to expand, and he was busy. And you know, so we said, you know, let's work it out. And we did, and we struck up an agreement. And on a daily basis, we're talking, and we're emailing, and we're texting, and we're phone calling, and doing franchise shows, and meeting potential franchisees, and trying to grow the brand every day.
Yeah. So, Kamal, what was it about Daryl and his concept? I'm sure there's, although Daryl and them don't want to think that, there's probably other people that help business owners franchise. What was it about Daryl and his company that made you feel like you would put this passion in this baby that you are creating in partnership with them?
Well, it's knowing, you know, Daryl and their background. I mean, you know, they helped grow Moe's, you know, from the start and you know, help Flying Biscuit and all raving brands really grow. So I kind of saw that as that wasn't a skill set that I had. I know how to make donuts. I know how to make them delicious. I know how to sell donuts and market donuts, you know, make people come into a donut shop. I don't know how to sell donut shops. So, you know, it came to the point where we had a lot of people coming in the donut shop from all over the country, really, and saying, oh, man, you should bring this to Texas. You'll be successful in Miami. Oh, you should come to New York, you know, come to San Francisco. So it was like, you know, I don't want to ship donuts because, you know, donuts don't ship very well. So it's like, how can I get out to those markets and, you know, be successful? And then seeing, you know, what they did with Moe's is like, okay, that's something that could work for me, and the demand is out there. So it really is just trying to feed the demand. And now, you know, since we put it out there really that we're trying to franchise, it's kind of been overwhelming now. A lot of people have been interested, you know, because we opened up our first franchise in Bangkok last year, and that was just a guy just randomly calling us up. We weren't even posting that we were trying to franchise. He just said, I want to franchise your store. And I said, sure, let's figure this out, you know. So it worked out great, and it's still working out good. So it's just about really finding good partners like that since we put out there that we want to franchise. And now we've been talking with a lot of good people, so it's just about trying to figure out if they're good enough for us and we're good enough for them, and then we're going to make it work and put it in a place where it can be super-duper successful.
So I find it very interesting that you go from, you know, sort of midtown Atlanta, and your first franchise is out of the country, you know, in the global sphere. So, Daryl, talk to us a little bit about when you're thinking about franchising, and you're, in this case, someone came to you, but when you're evaluating sort of where you go as that first duplication of what you have, what are some of the things that you really need to be thinking about?
Well, usually, and certainly what we recommend is to try to grow, you know, small, quick, you know, slow and steady. You know, to open up a store in Bangkok, no, it's not the first recommendation you would do, but it's working. It's happened. So let's forget about if it works or not. It does work. And, you know, my advice would be do some stores in Atlanta, do some stores in Charlotte, do some stores nearby the Southeast, and focus on that, because it's very hard to support growth in California, in Seattle, in New York, day one. Doesn't mean there aren't exceptions to the rule. Of course, there's exceptions to the rule. But typically, you want to try and grow in small circles around Atlanta. And he understands that, and Kamal's agreed to that. And that's our ultimate goal, and that's our plan for future growth.
So, Kamal, would you characterize yourself as a risk-taker? Again, you know, a lot of businesses get people coming to them with opportunity.
Yep.
And you certainly could have said, that's great that someone's coming to us from out of the country, but we really want to do something here. Would you characterize yourself as a risk taker?
I mean, you could see it as a risk, but my thing was, it was less risk because, you know, we're gonna get a contract together, and we're going to put a, you know, tight ironclad contract, and we're, you know, we would train him. But the thing about it is, if we go over there, we open up the store, it's successful, you know, it's good for both parties. If we go over there, you know, he signs the contract, we train him, you know, we don't open up the he opens up the store, then he decides, and, you know, he doesn't want to pay us royalties anymore. We didn't really lose out on much because, you know, the risk of not going over there and not doing it was zero, so we would have lost out anyways if we wouldn't have even tried. So, you know, so I really wasn't seeing it as too much risk because, you know, the truth of the matter is anybody can look. You know, they could have looked online from Bangkok and just stole our brand and called it Sublime Donuts, and I would have never have known the difference, you know. I'd have been called 4 years later, hey, there's 50 Sublimes in Bangkok. I'm like, really? That's interesting. I wonder when they started.
So you mentioned as you were coming in that you were actually at the donut shop this morning before we started. So you're still very involved in the day-to-day in addition to growing. So are the challenges that you're experiencing today and working through the same or different? And if, you know, tell our listeners a little bit, like, what is the biggest challenge you're facing right now?
I guess the biggest challenge is, you know, when it comes with growth, there's a lot more opportunities. Before, you know, when you're small, you know, when you're small and just start out, you're going to take anything that comes to you. Oh, you want to do this? Sure, I'll do that. You know, you want to do this? Sure, I'll do that. But now when you grow bigger, you know, you got to start turning away things that possibly could, you know, that makes sense to somebody, but it probably doesn't make sense to your overall vision. So that's kind of some of the challenges of growing it. And I'm kind of still real hands-on, so I kind of find it hard for myself to pull away from doing the day-to-day things that I like to do. You know, I really like to go in there at 4 in the morning and still make the donuts and still make sure the staff needs help. They can call me. You know, everybody in the staff can call me if they need anything. So it's really just about, you know, trying to pull away and step outside and, you know, get, you know, good managers in there and, you know, and trust the people you have. So training a good staff. And, I mean, we got a great staff there, but I just really like to work. I like to make the donuts. So that's the problem.
So I'm curious, and I'm going to ask this question of both of you, been in a slightly sort of different focus. So, Kamal, when you started, you mentioned you happened to see this shop that had been built out for donuts, and they were trying to get out. And I think one of the things that, you know, all entrepreneurs are challenged with is the capital to do the first investment and then the working capital to keep it going. So how did you sort of deal with the financial aspects of it when you were starting out?
Yeah, well, I was very fortunate that the shop was already built out, and he was trying to, you know, he sold it to me for 10 cents on the dollar, really. So I was very fortunate in that aspect. And then I cashed out my 401k, and I had a little bit of money going there, and I got a small micro loan because, I needed some money before the 401k came in to, pay rent and do other things for the shop. So I got a small micro loan through Axion USA, and they gave me a little bit of money to keep me ahead for just a month or two. But, I mean, that was basically it. It was just, you know, I was going to keep, you know, I was going to keep working until that last dollar came in. And really, it was before the last article in March came out, you know, of that year, like 6 months into me opening, I was, you know, I had to go run to the bank to put the money that we had in the register in the bank before they cashed the check, so we didn't bounce the check. So we really were running to our last dollar, and that's kind of what I was figuring. I was going to, you know, we're going to go until we can't go anymore, you know. So that's kind of how, I lucked out. I guess I was very fortunate that the shop was already made and that I had enough money to keep it going until we started really, you know, coming into the money and stuff like that. So, but, you know, I guess it is hard for, you know, new businesses to start. That's why I always say, you know, you got to really look at your plan and strip away the things. Because, you know, I wrote a solid business plan, and that was the thing about me when I first opened. I wrote a good, great business plan. And it was right, you know, in August of 2008 when I opened the shop. So, you know, in June and July, that's when, you know, I was looking for loans and, you know, applying to banks for small business loans. And that's when the economy, everyone's saying it's great. The banks are giving you money and the banks were giving everybody money. And I was like, oh, sweet. I'm going to go get some money. And I have a great business plan and I got the background in donuts. So of course, they're going to give me money. And then they were turning me down. And I was a little like, oh, my, like, what's going on? Like, am I being discriminated against, you know? But then, you know, come September, that's when, you know, all the banks, you know, failed and all the banks crashed, you know, and everyone knows that, you know, the economy crashed then. So the banks knew at that time they didn't have no more money to give out and they were about to go under. So I opened right at the time the economy, you know, tanked. And I was going to say that I was probably fortunate, too, that I didn't take out any loans because, you know, in the business plan I had things that, you know, I wanted to do and I wanted to buy all this stuff. And, you know, that probably would have set me in further debt, you know, and then I had a bigger hump to get over when it comes to breaking even. But like what I was telling, like I was telling people, like when they said, when did you break even? I said, as soon as I made my first dollar, because it was all the money I had in the bank. So when I made $1, we broke even, you know. So that was really it. It was just about trying, you know, about, you know, continuing to, you know, work hard and do that. And I'm fortunate that I didn't get the loan and I had enough money to keep going, you know, enough of my own money. Yes, because, you know, the banks, because I didn't get the money and the economy just collapsed. And that's the thing about starting in a down economy. You know, they say it's tough like that, but if you only know tough, you know, when the economy gets great, then it's going to be lovely. So that's kind of how we started. We started off when the economy was, you know, at the bottom of the barrel, and then we just kept growing as the economy grows. So it's been great.
Yeah, and as I'm listening to you talk, I call to mind to what you said in the beginning about passion, because without that passion, you probably would have said this might be a little bit more than I'm ready to take on, but because it was really something that you believed in, you were able to persevere. So, Daryl, as you talk to businesses about growth and expansion through franchising, you know, talk to us a little bit about the approach and the basis for how do you get your financial house in order so that you can be prepared to grow.
Well, it's usually the number one topic of conversation when people are trying to start a business. These days, as Kamal just mentioned, you know, the economy's been bumpy road since 2007, 2008. And, you know, and even today, it's still unstable. So I think the number one thing we usually advise to people and when we talk to people about franchising any concept is you have to have some cash. You know, you can't just go borrow money. And my analogy is it's like buying a house. You have to have some cash, you have to have good credit and good collateral. And in this sense, with a business, you have to have some business experience. There's not too many banks out there today that are going to give out loans of any amount if you don't have collateral, if you don't have some capital, and if you don't have, you know, good credit. And these days, those things are hard to come by. But if you do have those things, you can certainly take advantage. And there are small community banks. There's larger banks. There's all sorts of creative ways with cashing in your 401k and all sorts of other ways to get some capital to start a business. And just as he said, you know, he did it with everything that he had. Now, that's not typical. And from a franchising perspective, you know, his story is great because that's him starting the company. But from a franchise perspective, we'd be a little nervous if someone had no money and were looking for the location that was already built out to try and put their shop in, that we'd be a little nervous about that. So the story is fantastic. But from a franchising perspective, we really only want to work with qualified people who have the credit, the collateral, and some capital, and, of course, some business experience. There's always exceptions to the rule, but 99% of the time, that's kind of the model you want to go with.
Yeah. So, Kamal, one of the things that I'll tell a little story that got me interested in having you on the show is I recently was doing – I'm a consultant, and I was doing a staff retreat for one of my clients, Georgia Partnership for Excellence in Education, and one of their staff members, Brandon, stopped by your shop on the way to the retreat and bought different kinds of donuts and had it in the backs. And I have food allergies, so it's difficult for me to eat a lot of things. And the donut box was in the back, and first thing when people came in, they're like, oh, my God, Sublime Donuts. They were so excited. And then they looked at the list of the different types of donuts that were there and were trying to decide which ones they should get. And the excitement about the donuts, as I was sharing with Daryl before the show, people didn't want to get the session started. So I was thinking, really, I've got to meet Kamal. So what's sort of the way you go about thinking about the different types of donuts that you bring to life in your show, because I mean in your store, because that clearly is one of the things that people really get excited about.
I mean, what it really is about, you know, trying to make things that make people happy. I mean, that's the goal of donuts. Like I tell people, donuts isn't a food that you eat. You don't have to eat a donut when you're, you know, hungry. You know, you go to McDonald's or something because you got to put something in your stomach. But people only get donuts to share. People only get donuts when they want to be happy. They get donuts. Oh, they want to treat themselves. So donuts is a happiness thing. So that's kind of my goal when approaching new flavors or something that, you know, we want to make, is just trying to make people happy. And like, what is something that makes people happy? What's a flavor that people recognize? You know, how can we put this together, you know, if it's you know caramel apple fritters, because you know eating caramel apple at a carnival or something, or you know, a s'mores donut because you're used to campfires and stuff. So that's just kind of what we try to, you know, think about. You know, we got the Orange Dream Star, which is like an orange dream sickle. So it's just trying to get memories where people are happy, and that's kind of the goal. So, I mean, that's kind of our goal, is we want to make donuts where when you take the donuts places, you know, people are impressed with you. They're not impressed with us. They're happy that you brought the donuts. So that's our goal, is, you know, we're giving you something that, you know, people hopefully – so everyone can enjoy and people can make people happy anywhere you take them. So that's really the goal.
And so how do you – have you ever had some flavors that you thought were really going to be the thing that everybody loved and, you know, it didn't go maybe as you thought? Or do you just have the magic touch?
I think I got the magic touch. Nah, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, we tried a lot of flavors. I mean, because we always try fun flavors. But, I mean, generally the flavors that we have there, I mean, they've kind of been tested. You know, we run it through the rigors and the test and kind of know where – I kind of know where I'm going when approaching a flavor, you know. So it's kind of, you know, the things we do are not completely out of the box. Like, you know, it's really about seeing, you know, customers who don't think our flavors are going to work for them. You know, where we got a donut called a salt and vinegar donut, and it's salted caramel with reduced balsamic vinegar. And people are like, salt and vinegar, that's crazy. And it's like, why don't you try it? So, and then they try it and they're like, wow, this is great, you know, because it's well balanced. And that's really the goal, is to try to make, you know, products that are, you know, great and well balanced, and that can surprise you and be fun. You know, when you think of the shop, you think fun. I mean, that's kind of why we just redecorated the whole shop, to try to, you know, make people think of happiness all the time. We want people to be happy and think fun, happy, whimsical, and all that type of stuff.
How many employees do you have?
Around 10 employees, because, you know, we're working on some new projects, so we're trying to grow right now. We're working on some other fun stuff.
So what's your biggest challenge as you know, sort of leading your team?
The biggest challenge is, I don't know, there's lots of challenges. I don't know what the biggest one is. It's just, I mean, really trying to figure out the growth, because, I mean, like, the team that I got now, they're all pretty solid, and they see where we're going, and they want it to be successful, and they work hard for it to be successful. So it's just about trying to figure out how to be successful. You know, we, like you said, you know, you took the donuts, your friend took the donuts to the consultant, you know, retreat, and people already knew the name. So it's just about how to try to figure out how to take that name and, you know, keep developing it and keep putting it in more places and keep being successful. So that's really the challenge, is every day to keep trying to say, how can we keep, you know, doing what we did yesterday and do it better and keep growing and keep making a great product.
So, Daryl, how does a business like Kamal figure out sort of what is my trajectory of growth and what's possible and how fast is too fast and, you know, how slow is too slow?
Well, you know, those are good questions. I mean, I'm a big believer in, you know, slow and steady. If you grow too fast, you can make a lot of mistakes. And in this day and age, it's really not, you know, you can't afford to make those kind of mistakes. So My advice always is slow and steady, and try and work with the best possible franchisees that you can find. Be a little bit more selective. There's some franchise organizations out there that if you have a pulse and you have money, they'll give you a franchise. And we are not that organization. He certainly is not as well. And I think that's part of the philosophy, is to find the right franchise partners, which once they get out there and open, you instantly multiply yourself. And, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 stores. The goal is not to open up 10 stores in 5 minutes. You know, maybe it's 10 stores over the next 12 months or the next 18 months, something like that. And I think that's a doable number. And I think it'll get a lot easier to control the growth as it starts.
So what is sort of your biggest challenge as you work with business owners and you help them grow and expand? What are some of the challenges that Atlanta Franchise Group has, because I'm sure as you help them grow, you're growing. So you're dealing with your own growth issues.
Sure. It's finding the right partners to work with, like Kamal. It's finding the people who have the willingness and the passion, as he does, to grow and to listen, because there's a lot of challenges into how to do it. And all we always talk about, it's, you know, it's not just one store anymore. You got to think about the guy who's opening up in Duluth, or the guy who's opening up in Chattanooga, or the guy who's opening up in Birmingham. You have to think about their concerns and how to make their business more profitable and how to make their marketing plan more successful. So that's always a challenge, is just finding people to work with who are willing to listen, willing to understand, you know, that slow and steady is better than, you know, fast and hard. And we certainly, you know, look at potential clients in that manner. And there's a lot of other characteristics, but I think the willingness to listen, the willingness to cooperate, the willingness to take some risks for sure, and the willingness to be active in the business. You know, Kamal's a hybrid. You know, he just wants to grow the franchise business, but yet he's working every day trying to figure out that's unusual, but that's fantastic, and that's what we look for, the owner-operator. And from a franchise perspective, what most franchise companies look for, and you could talk to people about it, is that who's the most successful franchisee? I get that question all the time. And I usually say the most successful franchisee is the owner-operator who's active in the business. Doesn't mean they're working 80, 100 hours a week, but they're certainly not working another job and come in and just take the money to the bank. There's a big, big area in between that, and I think the most attractive person for me is the person who's the owner-operator for sure.
Yeah, so Kamal, if I could maybe talk a little bit, how do you keep it all balanced? I mean, you're growing, you've got people that work for you, you're making the donuts and coming up with concepts, and I'm not sure when, but you must have a little bit of a personal life as well. Kind of how has it been trying to balance all of those things, and what are some secrets that you might be able to give some of our listeners?
Oh, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out right now myself. So, I mean, it's true. I'm still trying to figure it out, so I'm just trying to, I really enjoy the work, so really it's, you know, I mean, I like to come in and work, so that's really my balance is, you know, I just do, you know, I wake up every morning and try to do the things I like to do every day. So, you know, I come into work and I do the work, and then, you know, I got a good enough staff and a good enough support team, so, you know, if things like that where, you know, Daryl and the franchise guys need me to do something, I can go off and do that thing with them and grow the business there, like, you know, where I'm going to head to, you know, Dubai, hopefully, you know, at the end of this month to go to a franchise conference out there. So it's things that, you know, that needs to be done. I can go do that, too. So it's just really about, you know, when you're, you know, an entrepreneur is, you know, they say if you love your job, you don't really work a day in your life. You're just doing things you like to do. So that's really kind of how I feel. It's the balance is I really just wake up and try to do the things I like to do every day. And, you know, that happens to be working in the donut shop and making the donuts. So
I'm curious, are the people that are on your staff, because that's one of the things that we hear, you know, you've got a business, you have to be able to do other things in order for it to grow, which means you have to feel confident in who's there. So how did you get that first employee? Were there certain things that you were looking for? How have you been successful that you can know that people are minding the store and it's going to be safe?
I mean, well, it's just about having trust and faith in people, you know. I mean, we, you know, the employees that came by, we've been very fortunate, and they have been good employees. You know, we've had a couple bad employees, and we weed them out and, you know, get rid of them, and then, you know, bring in other employees that we think can work with us and are good, and, you know, they can grow, they want to grow with the brand. So it's really just about finding good people and, you know, looking within people and seeing if, you know, they have the keys to be successful, if they're hardworking and they have a good attitude and they're, you know, they got honesty and integrity. So that's really what it's about.
So, Daryl, if someone had a concept and they were thinking about not only do they want to bring it to fruition, but they have this idea of franchising, you know, give me the three to five key things they need to be thinking about that gets them prepared for going down that journey.
Well, the number one thing is proof of concept. You need a concept that works, not only from a financial perspective, but from a, you know, a marketing perspective, from a employee perspective, because these are all the challenges that an individual is going to have. So if the business model works, if it's not too expensive to construct or build, in this case, a retail establishment, that's number one. Number two, are the sales high enough that they can be profitable? And number three, what is the overall consensus from the consumer, from the public? You know, is this just a trend, or is it, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, are donuts going to be popular? And I think we know the history of donuts. They've certainly been around for many, many years. But in any particular concept, there's lots of trendy things out there, especially with food. And that's certainly what my background is food and franchising and food. So I think you have to just be concerned about all those things. The business model's got to work. Are they profitable? And the public perception of what the brand could be.
Yeah. So, Kamal, when I was doing some research I saw that you received at least one or two awards about, I think, America's Best Bakery.
Best bakery in America.
Yeah, so how did that come into being, and how does that feel, given that you mostly focus on donuts, to be considered one of America's Best Bakery?
I mean, it's pretty great. I'm pretty happy about that because, you know, that was an industry magazine. It was Bake Magazine, an industry baking magazine. So it's pretty great that they recognized me. I was just excited that I was nominated, and then we turned around and won it. It was pretty awesome. So it was something that we can hang our hat on and say, you know, we're doing the right things and we're going in the right direction, you know. Because that was another thing when the guy, the editor for you know, Bake Magazine came by our shop, and he goes to all the different small bakeries in the country and, you know, talks to the businesses and, you know, interviews them about their business and stuff. And when he came by the shop, and he was just impressed on how we do things, and I was just like, wow, because, you know, when you're running your own business, you're kind of stuck on an island. You know, you only see what's in your business. You only meet people that come into your shop, so you kind of just think, oh, maybe everyone else is doing this outside the island. But when he came in and was telling me, yo, like, you're doing stuff that people aren't really doing and people aren't really thinking about, I was like, wow, I was a little impressed. So then after that, when they nominated us for the America's Best Bakery, that was pretty great too. So
yeah, tell me one thing that he told you that you're doing differently than others and how you maybe have continued with that.
I mean, well, it was really, I mean, because, you know, we all are only donuts. So just the way that we approach donuts, you know, a lot of donut shops didn't really approach donuts. I mean, right now it's kind of a donut renaissance going on, so you see a lot of other unique donut shops popping up. But no one really approached the donut, you know, because donuts were kind of a boring product, you know, and people didn't really try to jazz it up or try to add new flavors. And that was kind of, you know, when I first started, that was really my only goal. That's the only reason I started the donut shop, not because I wanted to own a donut shop and make chocolate donuts. It's because I wanted to. Because I was, you know, going to donut shops and was like, man, I would really like a donut with peanut butter and chocolate on it, you know. And I was like, how about I make that donut? And then, you know, lots of other flavors started popping up. And I was like, man, why don't we just try to keep making other donuts? I mean, that was kind of – and that was another thing. I mean, when I told him, you know, that was kind of our marketing plan, because we didn't have no money when we started. It was kind of, I called it the Field of Dreams marketing. If you make it, they will come, you know, because we decided we're just going to make unique flavors and hopefully people get a big enough word of mouth. Because the product is nowhere else on the market. So unlike, you know, like we say, you know, our chocolate donut is kind of the best chocolate donut you can have ever, but you can go get a chocolate donut anywhere. But if we, you know, you get an Oreo donut and it's the best Oreo donut you ever had, you can't even get an Oreo donut nowhere. So there's no other, you know, that we got the 100% on that market right there. So people got to, you know, people would tell a friend, I just had an Oreo donut. Where'd you have it from? I had it from Sublime. And they would come to our place, you know, to get that Oreo donut. So
yeah, so I'm remiss at the top of the hour. I didn't ask you, how'd you come up with the name?
Well, it was just about, you know, making the greatest product ever. And Sublime kind of stuck. It was, you know, Sublime is all inspiring. And, you know, that's kind of what we want to do. We want to inspire all when you look at the donuts.
Right. So, Daryl, you know, again, Kamal has a lot of passion. And I'm hoping my listeners can feel what I'm feeling as I'm here in the studio. Which you can understand why he's successful. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, as you said, owner-operator, first concept, a lot of innovation. How do the franchises that you work with over time, what are some strategies that you see that help keep them sort of forefront and being innovative and cutting edge so that they don't sort of lose that momentum?
Well, it's certainly keeping up with the competition and understanding the industry, whether it be donuts or whether it be, you know, burritos or whether it be salads. I mean, there's always new and interesting trends out there. We were talking earlier about food allergies and kind of some trends out there and people being more conscious of what they put in their body. And that, you know, 20 years ago, especially in the South, people weren't really too concerned about what they're putting in their body. But today, everywhere, even in the South, people are more concerned about, you know, fresh fruits and fresh vegetables and, you know, this whole green generation going on there with the kale and the spinach and, you know, like he talked about the balsamic and things like that. I mean, people didn't eat like that years ago. So I think keeping up with the industry that you're in, the specific industry you're in, as well as the broad industry of just food, I think is really, really important these days. And I think anybody who wants to start a new business, franchise or not, is really got to understand what's going on in that industry, whether they're a printer or whether, you know, having the right technology or whether they're in the food business. I mean, if you're using the wrong kind of flour or using the wrong kind of product or not seasoning things the right way or not enough or too much. You have to be really your own critic and probably your worst critic, because the customers are just not going to come back. If they're not happy with the overall ambiance and the customer service and obviously the product and then the value. I mean, if he's charging $6 for a donut, people are not going to come back. I don't care how good they are, because $6 is an expensive donut. But, and obviously I'm exaggerating, but I think that's part of it too. So I think it's value. I think it's the product. I think it's the environment. And I think customer service as well. I mean, this industry, the service industry and the food service industry has really suffered over the years by reputation, because there's a lot of places that just give terrible customer service. And I, for one, being in this industry, when I know when I'm with my family and we get bad service, we're upset. You know, it's expected that you should provide good customer service, especially if you're in a nice place. If you're going to McDonald's, and not that there's anything wrong with McDonald's, you should still get good customer service. And there's some great examples of brands out there that do a great job with just saying hello and thank you and smiling and everyone having a great attitude. And I think that's a big part of starting your own business. You have to have the right attitude, you have to have passion, and you have to know what's going on in the industry around you.
Yeah, so we have been talking a lot about your expansion, your growth. It's exciting that you're doing some things internationally. It's my understanding you're having some conversations about some franchisees in the Middle East.
Yes. Some people are interested in the Middle East. So I'm working with a group out there, and they're holding a franchise show. So at the end of the month, so I'm going to head out to Dubai at the end of the month. And there's actually a couple different parties that are interested. So we'll see if we can make it work. We'll see what their goals are and if they align with what we're trying to do and if we can put it all together.
Yeah. So when you were in the Navy, obviously you probably went many places in the world. Were you born here in the Atlanta area? I know you went to Marietta City Schools, but is this?
Yeah, I'm from Marietta. I was born in Marietta.
Okay, mm-hmm. So what enticed you to come back? You could have, after you left the Navy, really gone anywhere. So talk to us a little bit about sort of plugging your home, your hometown. What brought you back?
Well, I love Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta's great. Atlanta and Atlanta is a growing market. I mean, I kind of saw that. And, I got that job out in Tucker, so that's kind of what brought me back to Atlanta. And then seeing, and then especially when I opened up the shop and saw all the love and the press I was getting, it was something that was unique to Atlanta. And I was like, if I'd opened up in any other market, I don't think it would have worked, because I got some friends that, got different shops, and I got a friend that got a shop in Boston. And, they're really working hard, a little bakery, and they got a lot of great products, and it's very innovative. And I see that they haven't gotten the press that I got. I was like, if y'all were open in Atlanta, people would be flocking to your door. People would want to see product like this. And they haven't really got it. So Atlanta, people really like to see niche things, and people like to see people, the owner, operators behind the counter working. And then they see that they can see that you're running an honest business and an honest product, and they kind of want to go to you. So there's a segment of the population who wants to, see small businesses succeed, and especially when you're doing it right here in the city.
Yeah, do you find that, I think, Daryl, your organization focuses mostly with organizations or companies here in Atlanta. Does that sort of play true across the board?
I mean, our focus certainly is Atlanta. And, I'm not from here, but I've lived here for a long time. My wife and her family are from here. So I think Atlanta is a great market for small business, for franchising businesses, and just for growth. I mean, we all know what's gone on over here, Kamal, since being from here over the past 30 years, the city has blown up. I was passing by the population thing the other day, and it's like 6.2 now, which I can remember when I moved here in 95, I think it was 2 million at that point. So it's really grown, and certainly a great open market for, industries like this.
Right. So, Kamal, just any thoughts about sort of what's next? If I were to have you back here 18 months from now, obviously, you will be in other locations, but are there other things that you're just thinking about that you're wanting to bring to fruition?
Yeah, we're really working on trying to create like wholesale products and trying to create our own, brand name. So like a Little Debbie type stuff. So where you can go to the grocery store and get, some good quality, snack cakes or bread or something. So we're working on a bread right now that we can package and put in store. So we have our own, sort of like a Wonder Bread thing, but it's called, you know, sweet potato bread. So it's pretty great, and we kind of finalized it down, and we're trying to get it all together so we can start, you know, putting it together and selling it to Whole Foods. You know, I've talked to some people out there, and they're pretty interested because, you know, they know our name out here in Atlanta, and I think people already in Atlanta will try a Sublime product if it's new, even if it's not donuts, because they know that we make innovative products that are good, and they'll try it. So it's just about making a great product, and hopefully when people try it for the first time, they come back for a second time and then tell a friend and tell a friend and tell a friend.
All right. So, Daryl, I'm going to put you on the spot here. What is your favorite Sublime donut?
Well, there's two. The fresh strawberries and cream, for sure, which I'm surprised he didn't mention that.
Yeah.
That's a great donut made with fresh strawberries and real cream, and very, very popular. It's hard for him to keep them in the shop. And then he has these A-Town donuts, which I think has got the Bavarian cream inside, just shaped in the letter A, and he does happy birthday donuts and stuff like that with all the letters. And but those are probably my two favorites.
Yeah, I was watching the video, and so I saw the people eating the strawberry cream, and then the one where the little A donut says, "I have to leave Dad" or something. That's I thought that was cute. So Kamal, do you have a so first of all, you know, you're around those donuts. And all of that, are you a big donut eater yourself?
Oh, yeah, I love donuts. I ate a dozen donuts a day. You know?
And so then you must find time to work out, or you're just always in motion.
Yeah, no. If you stick with one product, you won't get fat. So that's what I say. If you only eat donuts, you know, if only eat my donuts, you won't gain any weight. So everyone should come to Sublime Donuts and join the donut diet with me. And you'll be... Stay slim and trim.
Slim and trim. Okay, I might have to try that. But do you have a favorite?
I mean, I really love them all equally, but I mean, I'm really a big fan of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, so that's kind of one of my favorites is the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup donut. That's a good one.
Yeah, I guess that was a little unfair. That's like asking any father, you know, which child is your favorite. But this has really been a lot of fun, and as I said, I hope that my listeners can hear the energy and the passion that Kamal is bringing to his business. I always sort of end the show with a question to all of my guests, and so here it is. You know, if you could look back to your 20-year-old self and ask yourself, you know, what do I know today that I wish I had known when I was 20, what would you say, Daryl?
Oh, I have to go first?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good one. Well, it's managing money. I think that's the thing. I wish if I knew then what I know now about managing money, I'd probably be in a lot different place than I am today. Not that I'm in a bad place, but a lot better place.
Okay. Kamal, you got a little – he bought you some time, but
– I don't know. I don't know. I'm still trying to think of that. I mean, I don't know if I could go back to my 20-year-old self.
That was just a few years ago.
I guess I'll tell him, really focus more. Because, I mean, I really like to read and I guess, you know, focus more on different aspects of learning stuff from a lot of different people. Because, you know, you get a lot of people that pass through your life, you know, especially at a young age, and you don't learn enough from them so you could, you know, really grasp a lot of knowledge and be in a better place if you don't, you know. You got to ask a lot more questions and get a lot more answers.
Oh, great. Well, I appreciate both of you being here. So, Kamal, are you on your way back to the to the donut shop?
Yes, ma'am.
So, let's give our listeners, if they haven't had a chance to come to Sublime, where are you located, and how can they learn more about you?
Well, you can always check us out online. It's SublimeDonuts.com. And we're right downtown Midtown, Atlanta West Midtown, at 535 10th Street. Right across from Georgia Tech. And if you're in Bangkok, we're in Fortune Town Mall in Bangkok, so you can always go down to Fortune Town Mall.
Great. And Daryl, for those that might want to inquire about how they either become a franchisee of Sublime Donut or franchise their own business, how do we get in touch with you?
Sure. It's AtlantaFranchiseGroup.com is the best way to get in touch with us.
Well, great. Well, I hope you all have big plans for the weekend. I'm kind of chill. I've been busy a little bit, but I appreciate you coming in on Friday. So join us next week, Fridays at 10, where we talk about growth matters because...
Growth matters.
Growth matters.
Great.